Amen. Amen. You remember what pulling punches is, right? It means you hold back. You don't give the full effect. And the only reason you do that is so your adversary can win. So we're not pulling any punches when it comes to the word, folks, because we don't want the adversary who is already lost to experience any victory. Amen? Amen. Let's go to John 3. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to learn something tonight. And I'm going to have a good time in the process. Amen. Amen. John 3, verses 16 and 17 out of the Voice Translation says, For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed for certain destruction. That's why he's here. And if that's why he's here and he's our example, then that's why we are here. We're here to rescue a world headed for certain destruction. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8. Wasn't my intention when I started studying for this series, but this is the verse that obviously God wants us to highlight. Romans 8, verse 28, in the Amplified Bible, reads, And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. And it's good for us to know that God didn't create us just because there wasn't anything good for him to watch on TV that particular day. You know, he had a very specific purpose for us, very specific. And we define purpose as the reason for which something is done or made. That it's purpose. It's an intended use, a desired result. And you need to know that every single one of us has a purpose. We have a purpose. We have a plan. We have a plan in God's purpose for mankind. We have a place in God's plan and purpose for mankind. It had said God works all, causes all things to work together for good, for our good. But we need to know that he drops a condition in there. To those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Now, we spent a couple of days talking about sin because sin throws a monkey wrench, or attempts to throw a monkey wrench to disrupt God's purpose for us. And we needed to understand that we have mastery over it, that we don't have to sin if we don't want to. Tell your neighbor, say, I don't have to sin if I don't want to, and I don't want to, so I'm not going to sin. I mean, that's basically it. You know, because when Jesus said to the man who just got healed from being 38 years, couldn't move, he said, go and sin no more. So if the man couldn't do that, why would Jesus tell him? So if he's just like he said to the woman caught in the very act, that always gets me, caught in the very act of adultery, he told her, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. So we need to understand if we don't have a choice, if no matter what happens, because we're in these fleshy bodies, we're just going to sin, why would he tell them go and sin no more? If they didn't have the ability to sin no more. So sin's no longer an issue. It's no longer an issue. So let's look at some what I call purpose basics. Just some little simple things that we know God wants to accomplish. 1 Timothy 2, we've been reading this quite a bit lately. I'm in the Phillips translation. It says, "Here then is my charge. First, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings should be made on behalf of all men, for kings and rulers in positions of responsibility, so that our common life may be lived in peace and quiet, with a proper sense of God and our responsibility to Him for what we do with our lives. In the sight of God our Savior, this is undoubtedly the right thing to pray for. For His purpose is that all men should be saved and come to realize the truth." That's it. That's God's purpose. He wants all men to be saved and come to realize the truth. And He told us to go into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel to every creature. He told us we were ministers of reconciliation. He said He's given us the word of reconciliation. So as ministers of reconciliation with the word of reconciliation, what should we be doing? Getting folks reconciled. I mean, that's what we should be doing. Then He said He gave us a new command. And that new commandment was what? To love one another. How? That's right. The same way Jesus loves us, we're to love one another. And He also told us why. And I like the way the Message Bible puts it. It said, "This is how everyone will recognize you are my disciples. When they see." Not when they're told about it. When they see. When they see with their eyes the love you have for one another. That's the way people will know we are disciples of Christ. If they don't see that, then they don't see any disciples of Christ, and maybe there is no Christ. Because if they were, and these are His people, how come they're not acting the way the book says He acted? So that's how everyone will know, because they will see love in action among the believers. We need to think about that the next time we get ready to let something terse come out of our mouth toward another believer, toward anyone really, but especially toward another believer. You know, we have to be mindful of using those derogatory terms, because someone may have a different slant on something and refer to them as those so-called Christians. You know, we need to be mindful of those things. And then in Matthew 5, because what people see is very important, especially the world. What they see in us is extremely important to their salvation. And I'll tell you what, look at Matthew 5. This is my opinion. Jesus said, "Let me tell you why you're here." This is out of Message Bible. "You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept." We're children of God, are we not? And God is not a secret to be kept? Then we're not a secret to be kept either. Everybody should know we are God's children. It goes on to say, "We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. So, folks, please understand the reverse of that is also true. If you don't open up to people, they won't open up to God. First, they won't know that they can, but even before that, they probably won't know that there is. They may have thought, you couldn't have convinced me when I left the church that night at 16 years old after watching that those people fighting inside the church. You couldn't have paid me $10 million to believe that God was real. Because if he were real, they wouldn't act like that. That's what I thought as a 16-year-old who made a choice to give this Jesus stuff a shot. And it's no different today. If they see us going at one another, there's no way you'll convince the world that God is. Not the God who we say we serve. Not God. God is love. Get away from me. God is love. You wait till we get out. God is love. Okay. What part are they going to remember? They'll remember you said God is love. But they'll also say, he's going to tell us God is love, and at the same time, he's just cutting this other person up. What did they do? I don't know. But I know if that's what church is about, I have that now. I mean, it's a matter of fact, I used to pray to God, even though I didn't believe in him, but I used to pray to God trying to go from one project to another, you know, because you don't want to get jumped on the way because you live in the wrong building. But that's another message. See, living out God's purpose publicly, folks, in full view of the world is what will cause all men to want to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That verse highlights the importance of our actions. And it also highlights the importance of our words. And I'm going to show, look at Matthew 7, because I'm going to show you just how powerful our actions are and how they affect people. Matthew 7. God woke me up with this. One of those things I just lied there and just kept thinking about it and letting it roll through my head, and God was connecting scriptures, and I'm laying down that fire, I said, let me pick up my phone and write this down before I lose it. And God said to me, you know, you're not going to lose this. But I wrote it down anyway. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15, this is in the Living Bible. It says, beware of false teachers who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are wolves and will tear you apart. Listen to this. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You need never confuse grapevines from thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Different kinds of fruit trees can quickly be identified by examining their fruit. A variety that produces delicious fruit never produces an inedible kind. But a tree producing an inedible kind can't produce what is good. So the trees having the inedible fruit are chopped down and thrown on the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person, says the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit produced. So you look at the tree and you see what comes off the tree. You look at a person and you see what comes out of the person. In one area, you'll know what type of tree you have and you'll know what type of person you're dealing with just from what they produce. We need to understand that. Luke 6, verse 43 in Message Bible. You don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. Who you really are will be seen in your actions. It will be heard in the words that we speak. It'll be shown clearly in our mannerisms. Why? It's who we are. And you can put on for a while. We used to teach, as a youth director, I told the same thing to daughters, biological, whoever. If you came there, or you were a teenager, we told you. You want to find out if this really a nice guy? Don't give him anything. And wait. Why? Because everybody has a predetermined amount of time they're willing to wait before they start expecting a return on their investment. So if you will just wait, you will find out if he's really a nice guy or she's really a nice girl. But if you're in a hurry, you may get some wormy apples. But if you just wait and watch, see what's being produced. I love something that my wife said. I thought about it at first for a minute, and then as I thought about it, I said, it's absolutely true. She said, you could tell a lot about a person by how he treats his mother. And all the lady said, I think it was unanimous. I have a follow-up comment to that, but I'm not going to make it tonight. Because it's one of those then how come type of questions. Yeah, stay focused. Yeah, I got it. But we need to understand that, folks. You know, whatever type of tree it is, that's the type of fruit that's going to be produced. Whatever type of person you're confronting, you're going to see that in their actions. And you're going to know exactly who they are. Personally, you know, just about all of you know this, I went through great lengths to make sure people saw a person different than who I was, because who I knew I was vulnerable. And I didn't want anyone to know I was vulnerable. So I created a whole nother me who thought he was invincible and acted like it. And it worked. Because people didn't want to eat that kind of fruit. Okay. So they left me alone. But that's not who I was portraying to be, but that's not who I was. And once I met Christ and I realized that I could be vulnerable because God would take care of me. And I can let people know who I really am. I have moments where sometimes I see if I was acting like this, they wouldn't be doing that. But acting like that would have been wrong. See, as far as the world is concerned, what they see is what they're going to get. As far, matter of fact, as far as we're concerned, what we see in a person is what we get. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so what they see in us, they have a right to expect that that's what they're going to get. And if they don't see us acting godly, they have a right to assume we're not godly people. Because godly people act godly. I mean, isn't that simple? How would you feel if you found out that someone wasn't what they who they portrayed to be? Well, that's why the world gets so upset when Christians, quote-unquote, miss it. Erase that. When Christians sin. Okay. Because you're taking away their hope. Because if we walk arm in arm with God and this is how we behave, they're far away from God. What chance do they have? So they're watching us, folks. They're watching us. They know we're Christians. They know we're believers. They know that we tout ourselves as being sons of the Most High God. And they're smart enough to expect us to act differently than they are. All of the time. All of the time. What are the chances I'm getting saved and coming into the knowledge of the truth if we produce bad fruit? Because they're going to judge God, who we're his offspring. So now think about that. We're God's fruit, as far as they're concerned. And so if we're bad, then the tree must be bad. So if the fruit's bad, I don't want any part of the tree either. So what we do, how we act, becomes critical. People need to see exactly who we are in Christ. Psalm 34, verse 8, says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." It didn't say just taste the Lord. It said taste and see. See that the Lord is. The Living Bible says, "Oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercy showers down on all who trust in him." All. We are those folks that mercy should be showering down on. Every good and perfect gift should be showering down on us. And the world needs to see that. So we have to be properly prepared. And our preparation may be a little different than some others. And just like playing sport, I didn't prepare myself the way other people who played the same position I did prepared. I prepared myself like I was in a game. All of my practices, everything I did, every drill I ran was as if it were in an actual game, period. Because that's what I needed. So I didn't go on the 5-mile run because I didn't need to jog once I got out there on the court. I had to sprint. Right. You know that, Robin. You get a rebound and throw, you can't go down court. Oh, no. Coach, time out. You need to sit down next to me. But in order to do that, I had to prepare myself for that type of action. My body had to be ready to endure whatever was necessary. I wanted to be the guy who the coach could call on to make a big stop at the end of the game. So if I wanted to be the guy, I had to prepare like I wanted to be the guy. And then when I was called on, I had to demonstrate I was the guy. I mean, in football, they have third down specialists. I don't understand it. Everybody on the field, in the stands, and home watching television knows that you're going to give the ball to this person. Yet they get the ball and they get the first down. I mean, it's amazing to me. But it works. They practice it. They practice and they practice and they practice. And they fight. And I mean, I don't know how many of you watched the Super Bowl, but I mean the one play that literally took all the morale away from the Falcons was when this guy, it should have been a fumble, but his concentration level was so intense, he was able to keep hold of that ball before it touched the ground. Incredible play. Incredible, but you don't get like that by accident. You have to practice like that. You have to practice that kind of concentration, and that's what we need to do so we can properly represent God's team. So we can properly represent that God knows what he's doing, that his strategies, his plan, his coaching technique is what's superior and nothing else. So look at Galatians 5. And remember, this is something we have to do. God is not going to do it. He did his part. He empowered us to do what we're going to read. Galatians 5, starting with verse 16. It says, but I say, walk and live habitually. This is the Amplified Classic Bible. Walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature, without God. It's very important to understand that. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we will walk as if we are without God. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, are opposed to the flesh, the godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. I read that and I said, not if you're in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost said to me, no, you read the next scripture, you're getting ahead of me. He said, but if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. So you're not subject to being prevented from doing what you desire to do if you subject yourself to the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 19. Now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear, are obvious. So that means they can be seen. Go ahead, you can say that. So that means they can be seen. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sex, S-E-C-T-S, and with sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's saying, folks, these things are clear. Clear. So if we're doing them, guess what? They can be seen. By who? By everybody. We have to put them off. Because some translations say put off these things. Didn't say wait and let God wipe them off of you. No, you have to make a choice. I'm getting rid of these things. Some translations say put them behind you. So you take them and you put them behind you. Period. Don't stand there enjoying them saying, well, you know, I'm waiting for God to take care of this. No, he already did. Jesus conquered them and gave you control of them. And so when they try and jump on, you put them off. Just put them off. It said, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within us accomplishes is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper. That means you're not flying off the handle 1 minute, nice and calm the next. Forbearance. Fancy word for tolerance. Kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. But see, you can be charged with drunkenness. and envy and carousing. You can be charged as a liar. You can be charged with driving under the influence, driving while impaired. Those things are against the law. Gentleness is not. Meekness is not. It said those who belong to Christ Jesus, and we do, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires. Those who belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. So we crucify. We don't wait for God to do it. We crucify it. When it shows up, crucify it. Your body should be just like the folks when they said, what shall we do with Jesus? And everybody's screaming out, crucify him. That's what should happen when your body comes up with an ungodly idea, like, no, crucify it. You don't say, no, God, God, please take this away from me. You can fast 60 days. It ain't going nowhere. He'll just wait for you to give it some more food. Okay. And I'll say, how long are you going to make me wait again? But you have to do something. I have to do something. We have to do something. And we've been equipped. That's the good part about it. See, the world will see what we do wrong before they see what we do right. And I'll tell you something. They will see us do something and recognize immediately that that is not something someone like us should be doing. But when we do things in a godly manner, it takes a little bit for them to recognize that. And that's okay. Because what's happening is they see something that they are not familiar with. So they want to see, what is this? So they start watching. And you may befriend one of them. And you have to be with someone and they do something just ridiculous. What they're doing, folks, is they're testing you. They want to see. It's no different. Every time my wife took over a class or we got a new group in the youth fellowship and you give them your standards and things, somebody's going to test you to see if you really mean what you say. And when, I tell you something, if you don't, and they could run you ragged, they have no respect for you. But when you are quote unquote tough on them, that just means you insist that they do what you say, and you let them know you are in charge, then you can't get rid of them. They always want to come around you. Why? They can trust you. Because you do what you say, so that means I'm safe. But if I can't trust you to do what you say, I'm not safe in your presence. And that makes me angry. Because you're the one in charge. We were put here to bring this world back into subjection to God. We're put here to replenish the earth and subdue it. Bring it back under control. In order to do that, we have to mean what we say. When we say it, and we have to say what God says about it. And put off anything else that gives us the look or the demeanor of the world. In this world, we need to have the look and demeanor of Christ. As Pastor Clinton wrote, we need to be his reflection, not our own reflection, because that's what's going to change folks. That's what's going to make them want to get saved, want to come into the knowledge of the truth. They're going to want to know the same thing that we know. They're going to want to know just how to accomplish what they see us accomplish. And we have to be prepared to do that. So that means all that other stuff that has nothing to do with God's personality or ours, we have to get rid of it. And it's not something that, that you need to do, that we need to do in stages. We need to get rid of it right away, because the longer we have it, the more damage it does. So you understand, people that do wrong know wrong when they see it, when it comes up. They know. You may hide it for a while, but it's who we really are. We've been empowered. Either, now remember, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 12, he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt. That's what we, that's the opportunity we have to do with all. We can make ourselves good, and then everything that we do will be good. Or we can make ourselves corrupt, and then everything that we do will be, and we will be known by how we made ourselves. See, I found out that I don't have to get mad. You know what I found out? I want to get mad. I'm being honest. Nobody can make me mad. I don't care what you do to me. I decide I'm going to get mad about this. Often it's because I've been thinking about it for a while, which means I was already in violation because I'm keeping a mental account. I'm like, oh, they're doing this again, huh? Let them do it one more time. I'm just being honest with you folks. It's not going to help me or you to stand up in front of you and put on. But that's what happens. You're thinking about it, or you've seen them. Yeah, let them try that with me. If it were me, I would have done whatever. And you'd have been as wrong as two left shoes bought with a $3 bill. Okay. But here's how you produce good fruit. Colossians 3. Philip's New Testament. It says, if you are then risen with Christ, reach out for the highest gifts of heaven, where your master reigns in power. Give your heart. Didn't say God will take your heart. You have to give your heart to the heavenly things, not to the passing things of earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you are already dead. And your true life is in a hidden one in Christ. One day, Christ, the secret center of our lives, will show himself openly, and you will all share in that magnificent announcement. That's the word that this uses. So, insofar then as you have to live upon this earth, consider yourselves dead to worldly contacts, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, dirty-mindedness, uncontrolled passion, evil desire, and the lust for other people's goods. Remember, insofar as that you have to live upon this earth, consider yourself dead to worldly contacts, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, dirty-mindedness, uncontrolled passion, evil desire, and the lust for other people's goods, which last, remember, is as serious a sin as idolatry. It is because of these very things that the holy anger of God falls upon those who refuse to obey him. And never forget that you had your part in those dreadful things when you lived that old life. But now, put all these things behind you. No more evil temper or furious rage. No more evil thoughts or words about others. No more evil thoughts or words about God, and no more filthy conversation. Don't tell each other lies anymore, for you have finished with the old man and all he did, and have begun life as a new man who is out to learn what he ought to be according to the plan of God. In this new man of God design, there's no distinction between Greek and Hebrew, Jew or Gentile, foreigner or savage, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, for Christ lives in them all. As therefore God's picked representatives of the new humanity, purified and beloved of God himself, be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, accept life and be most patient and tolerant with one another. All, listen to this, folks, always ready to forgive if you have a difference with anyone. Forgive as freely as the Lord has forgiven you, and above everything else, be truly loving. For love is the golden chain of all the virtues. Let the peace, let. That means you cannot let, all right? But it says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, remembering that as members of the same body, you are called to live in harmony, and never forget to be thankful for what God has done for you. Never. Folks, this is what we have to do. God's not going to do it for us. We have to make conscious choices to do these things. And again, if we couldn't do them, God wouldn't have told us. Verse 16, let Christ's teaching live in your hearts, making you rich in true wisdom. Teach and help one another along the right road with your psalms and hymns and Christian songs, singing God's praises with joyful hearts. And whatever you may do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, thanking God the Father for him. Now that's a handful right there to accomplish, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 18, wives, adapt yourselves to your husbands that your marriage may be a Christian unity. So it's saying, wives, you have a responsibility. This is how I expect you to act as wives. Husbands, be sure to give your wives much love and sympathy. Don't let bitterness or resentment spoil your marriage. Why? That's what happens in the world. That's what happens in to people in the marriages who you are trying to win for Christ. As for you children, I know you thought you'd get off, right? Your duty is to obey your parents. At your age, this is one of the best things you can do to show you your love for God. One of the best things you can do as children is to obey your parents to show your love for God. Fathers, it comes back to fathers again. Don't overcorrect your children or they will grow up feeling inferior and frustrated. So that pounding Bible that you have, put it away. If you need to beat somebody over the head with the Bible, beat yourself. But it's better to read it and let it get in your heart. Because you can beat yourself in the head with it, and it's still good. Words will not get inside you. You just wind up with a headache. All right? Slaves, or you could say employees, do your job is to obey your masters, not with the idea of currying favor, but as a sincere expression of your devotion to God. So that means employees, you should be outstanding employees because of your devotion to God compels you to be the best you on the job that you could possibly be. And everybody should know it. Not that you go on, you lord over them, but every project that you're given, you complete properly. Not saying that, oh, it has to be the first time. You have to complete it properly. Whatever choice needs to be made, that means you realize that if you lack wisdom, all you need to do is ask God and he'll provide it liberally. And you don't have to run to your supervisor every 5 minutes to ask, what should I do next? No. It says, whatever you do, put your whole heart and soul into it, as into work done for God and not merely for men, knowing that your real reward is heavenly. It's one that will come from God, since you are actually employed by Christ and not just your earthly masters. See, folks, when we do these things, we're preparing ourselves to be used by God to get all men saved, to get all men into the knowledge of the truth, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, to do our jobs as ministers of reconciliation, because we are living it first. And then we're talking about it. And if you live it loud enough, you won't have to say very much. I think it was Edward Guest that wrote the poem, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. So I'd rather see a sermon. Let me see you living this life. I don't want to hear you talk about this. Let me see you living this life. My wife and I, we do everything that's within us to live this life and walk this walk in front of our children. Sometimes we think they have blinders on, but we keep living it. We keep walking it. We keep saying it. Period. We keep doing it. So they can't say they didn't, they can never stand before God and say they didn't have an example. They know their parents did it. They knew the mistakes and they know how to do it right. And we haven't hidden any of it. So they know. They know that if you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world, you fix it. And don't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again that's wrong. They know that because we live it. The world will know it because they'll see you living it also. That's our preparation, folks. I mean, those same verses in the Message Bible, I'm not going to go over and take too long to read them all, but the end of it, it's funny. It says, being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Okay. Just because, don't expect sympathy from your supervisor because you did something wrong and they're supposed to overlook it because you're a Christian. The word says, being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Okay. So we need to do good work. All right. Nudge your neighbor, say, is he talking about you? No. Okay. Folks, we need to make a choice to prepare ourselves based on the word, because we need to be known as the real deal. We don't need to be known as fakes or frauds or hypocrites or any of those things. Yes, I know the world has heard about them and has probably seen some, but they still need to know the truth. They need to know that that's not everybody, that that's not even the majority. But they're not going to know that if they don't see it. And they're not going to see it if we're not living it in front of them. And it really does. It starts with how we treat one another. Period. I came across, I'm unhooked, but I came across, when I was thinking about this, it's especially when I wrote "What you see is what you get." And I remember, stop laughing, Deacon Deborah. But I remember the song. Yeah, I know. By the group The Dramatics. You probably remember them. Listen to this. I apologize to them because I changed some of the words. It says, some people are made of plastic. You know, some people are made of wood. Some people have hearts of stone. And some people are up to no good. But me, I'm a child of God. I'm for real. I'm as real as you can get. So if what you're looking for is a godly life, then what you see in me is what you'll get. Amen. Tell your neighbor, what you see in me is what you'll get. Let's just make sure it's more than a song lyric. Let's make sure it's a true life action, a true life account of who we are. We are good, healthy trees, and we produce good, healthy fruit.